thank you once again, you all in person and you all out there in Zoom land or YouTube land or whatever platform land you're on. Thank you, Bob, for that wonderful introduction. I just have to make one correction, though. I am not the pastor of St. Paul's. St. Paul's is a house church pastored by me and five other members, both lay and clergy, who form our church council. And we do it because we embody the priesthood of all believers, which is part of the miracle of St. Paul's, which I'll be sharing in my sermon. Now, one of the commentaries that helped me prepare this message had this to say about the Lazarus story. Being in relationship with Jesus means facing death and grief with him and learning that still, in spite of the death and the dryness and the finality of the door at the entrance of the tomb of our hopes, he can still be said to be life. Nothing is ever so dead that it keeps him from being that in himself and for us. And in John, that life is not only a future hope, it's abundant life that is always ever now. So John 11:1-45 is about how death leads to living life abundantly in the now and creating the yes we can that is belief. In verse 4 we read, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, the first time I read a book by Eckhart Tolle called The Power of Now, I came across a line that knocked me for a loop. Basically, Tolle said, all things are neutral. What? All the damage done by the evil isms rampant in the world are neutral? All the benefits from the good isms in the world are neutral? What you been smoking, man? I can't tell you how long it took me to really, like, I mean, I struggled with that. It's like, no, that's not true. I don't believe it. No. I mean, it really took me a long time until this scripture came to me from Romans 8, verse 28. All things work for good for those who love God and are called according to God's purposes. It finally sunk into my thick head that what Tolle was saying was that I need to avoid judgments. Because if I've already judged something evil or judged something good, then I have defined and limited my choices and my response. Jesus didn't look upon Lazarus' illness as a cause for worry or concern, but as an opportunity to glorify God. When so unexpected, disappointing, dismaying events come our way, do we reactively go into, oh, for the love of God, despair and resentment? Or do we take a proactive pause, analyze the situation, and ask, God, okay, I hate this, but what are you using this to teach me about my attitudes and my beliefs? Beliefs and attitudes that are limiting my ability to see what I can do. In verse 8, we read, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going to go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. Now, here's an instance of judgment that would have limited Jesus if he were to buy into it. Instead, he chooses not to fear death. He goes despite the danger and the risk. Now, oddly enough, the disciples go with him, not because they're like, yeah, Jesus, you got it right. Let's go. We agree. But they accept, hey, listen, following this guy means death. So let's just go die with him. When have you been unable to see past a limiting belief and just said, well, que sera, sera. What's going to happen is going to happen. So let it be so. And then only to be surprised completely. Oh, thank you. Surprised completely surprised that what you expected to happen didn't happen. I'm a member of St. Paul's, the little church in Rio Rancho, and I've shared with you some of our journey. And about it was five years ago, April 19th, we voted to stay open. Now, we're a member of the Southwest Conference, which is a combination equivalent of the Synod, but also because it's so spread out, it also acts as a presbytery too. So it's a Synod and a presbytery. And so that present leadership didn't think we had a chance. So, I mean, we could have been like the disciples following Jesus, and you know, we could have adopted their attitude of like, yeah, well, since we're going to die, let's live it up while we're doing it. You know, the attitude of the disciples. But instead, we took Martha's attitude, the one that she expresses in verses 21 and 22. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. I mean, we in St. Paul's recognize that God was still speaking to us in our present situation. That is the motto of the United Church of Christ. God is still speaking. The full motto is, don't put a period where God has placed a comma. God is still speaking. Well, St. Paul said, hey, God is still speaking to us. Where were you, Martha? And what? So for the last 5 years, we're saying, hey, God hasn't given us a period yet. We're still working on that comma. And what's been the result? The present leadership of the Southwest Conference has had us, our tiny little 12-member house church, consult with two churches who were planning to close. They had a consultation with us to learn, well, how are these 12 doing it? They have less people and less money and less property than us. But here they've been going along just fine. And both those churches decided not only not to close, but came up with really innovative and creative ways to keep living. I mean, like, we try not to brag, but it's hard not to brag, you know, when somebody tries to kill you and you help other people live. We claim for the last 5 years the words that Jesus spoke to Martha, saying, I am the resurrection. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Yeah, we had to grieve and mourn and weep over what St. Paul's had been, what we wanted it to. We had to allow ourselves to be vulnerable like Jesus was when he went and saw Mary and Martha and the Jews weeping and weep with them. We had to embrace that pain of grief and loss so that now 5 years later, we could live into the truth that Jesus is the resurrection, the truth, and the life. And if we believe in him, we will never die, even if we die. Only by embracing that heartache were we able to not rationalize how we felt. You know, it's like, you know, what's that? Stiff up a lip, you know, like buck up, you know, tomorrow is another day, which can be very phony if your heart is breaking. But once we embraced that heartache, we were able then to realize that God not only is still speaking to us, but wants to speak through us. And here we are with that present leadership of the Southwest Conference saying, you know, as proof of Jesus saying to Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe, see the glory of God? Little St. Paul's with his rotating, never break the 12-member barrier. But we're still here. Within the last year and a half, we got 3 new members. And we didn't do any big evangelism campaign or knocking on doors. It was the Spirit that led those people to us, and the Spirit that those people encountered in our congregation that say, yeah, I can believe here. Because of that, our conference sees the power and possibility of small churches and small congregations. And so we say, thank you, Lord, for still speaking to us and through us and enabling us to model the love and the power that you have given to us. As a matter of fact, in our weekly e-blast, I look for those kind of examples and share them. It's in a section of our e-blast called Reimagining Church. I've been doing it now for like 5 years, and I keep finding these ways that churches say Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And even if we die, we don't die. So if you'd like to get some of those reimaginings, just give me your name and your email. I'll put you on our mailing list, and you'll see, the stories of what we can do when we allow the Spirit of God to be in control is just awe-inspiring. So I close by saying, today we're experiencing all kinds of death in all the spheres of life, political, social, economic, you name it. And the drumbeat of despair in those arenas is loud and persistent. But today's story of Lazarus challenges us to see how facing death in all those arenas can bring life, and the experience of that life become the foundation on which. Because Jesus saw an opportunity instead of a drawback. Because he challenged limiting beliefs instead of giving in to them. Because he allowed himself to feel the depths of his and the sorrow of others, he stood in the power of what can. He challenged the status quo of death. He facilitated resurrection, and he gave the Jews around him a reason to believe. So as Lent draws to a close, because this is the last Sunday of Lent, last Sunday is Palm Sunday, I ask you all to consider the Lazarus situations you're dealing with in your personal, individually, in your personal lives, or collectively as a worshiping community. Where do you need to follow the example set by Jesus in this story? Where you challenge the limiting beliefs of others and your own that keep you from living fully into the power that is yours because you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Think on those situations. View them as moments to glorify God. And then channel the power of God as Jesus did in this story to those situations. And watch what happened. Amen. Amen. Amen.